Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Close calls, statement performances and scorching scorelines. The All-Ireland quarter-final weekend fired up the championship with the promise of more to come. Armagh's reign as All-Ireland football champions was brought to an end by Kerry. Meath triumphed over Galway, bringing them to their first semi-final since 2009. Well, I'm joined by the man who bore witness to it all, RTÉ Gaelic Games correspondent Marty Morrissey. Hello, Marty.
Hello, Claire. Very good morning to you.
Great to have you with us. That was a great weekend, wasn't it?
My word, Claire. It was exhilarating. I mean, I suppose Donegal, it was kind of, yesterday was exceptional. Saturday, we thought Donegal's comeback against Monaghan was exhilarating, and Tyrone's performance against Dublin. Well, it was probably the dullest of the four games over the weekend. It was still, Tyrone will be very proud of their performance against Dublin, because you don't beat Dublin every day of the week. And Donegal's comeback against Monaghan when they were 7 points down, I mean, it was a really impressive performance. But I suppose yesterday all the headlines, at a quarter to four, the story of the weekend would have had to be Meath. Mm-hmm. I mean, beating Dublin, Kerry, Cork and now Galway in a sensational quarterfinal would have gained any headlines. But then Kerry come along and we all kind of had, a lot of us had, were, well, almost written off really, because Armagh were the form team, and look at what Kerry produced. It was just champagne football. I don't think any of us will ever forget 15 minutes in that second half when Kerry scored 14 points and Armagh couldn't get the ball past midfield. This was Kerry at its very best.
Yeah.
So we were all fools to even think that Kerry were not going to produce that kind of performance, because Kerry are Kerry.
Well, there's a little war brewing over the whole thing, isn't it? You know, being written off for not having depth on the side, and then they come out and do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we're all a little bit surprised. I was doing the draw, so I wasn't in, and I wouldn't have been at the print media press conference anyway. But I met some of my colleagues in the print, and they were just, I suppose, so positive about Jack O'Connor, speaking from the heart, because Jack is always very careful and most winning managers. But I think the comments from some of the former Kerry players and some people outside the county obviously hurt him, and they really came together. And as he said in a post-match interview when they lost to Meath are better than what people think, and Meath proved it yesterday. But still, they're a close group. I think Sean O'Shea said in his interview with us on the Sunday game that they're very close, that they all love each other and they stick by each other. And yesterday was a serious challenge, and they had lost last year's semi-final to Armagh, so there was a lot to prove based on the performances so far. And they're certainly more than a one-man team. And I know David Clifford, to me, is just heroic. Mm-hmm. But Sean O'Shea yesterday, you know, these two boys came up through the minor ranks and they played football together from Fusa and from Kenmare. And they just have a special cocktail, and they have graduated from minor and under 21 ranks to senior ranks. I thought yesterday was something special between between Sean O'Shea and indeed the Cliffords. Paddy Clifford is just a mastermind. He is the conductor of all that orchestra, and it was just wonderful to watch. If you happen to be from Kerry or you just love Gaelic football, Armagh people mightn't be so pleased with him. But that having been said, even Armagh people were gracious in their defeat yesterday, and praised Kerry. Everyone I met from Armagh were full of praise for Kerry.
Well, listen, we were trying to get out of the house yesterday, coming up to 3:30 when the other match was on, Meath and Galway, and it was in that last period, wasn't it, that it all just, everything just went out the window. It was extraordinary in the last, say, 12 minutes.
Oh, I mean, I have to give credit to both Galway and Meath, because Galway, once Meath, I mean, I suppose I was lucky in my job. I saw Meath during the Alliance League, and these two lads, Jordan Morris and Owen Frayne, I saw for the first time. I said, these two corner forwards are as good as what I've seen in the country. But Jordan Morris yesterday scoring 1-6. But when Galway showed the character that makes them Galway footballers, they showed it yesterday. And I really thought that they had survived the challenge produced by Meath. But then the Royals aren't the Royals for nothing. They don't have that DNA. When you think of the players like Colm O'Rourke and the McEntees and the Staffords and the names of the past and the Reynolds. It's in the DNA and it's there in their bloodlines. And Meath showed great character yesterday to come back. And the goal by the substitute, Conor Gray, it mightn't have been David Clifford-esque, but, you know, it was effective. And that Jordan Morris was, you know, he deservedly won man of the match. It was just magical. It was real football.
Yeah, it ends very suddenly now, doesn't it, under the new rules with the thing blowing and it all stops. Overall, have people welcomed the rules or what's the sense of it now?
Claire, what football, the review committee have given us, they've given us the love of Gaelic football back. I saw the documentary, which is wonderful on Monday nights on RTE.
Oh, Hell for Leather.
Hell for Leather, I think it's superb. And Jarlett Burns, the president of the GAA, said for him, Gaelic football is the high fielding, going up into the clouds and coming back. And like the days of Mick O'Connell or the late Brian Mullins, whom we all loved and admired, and we have them today, and Conor Gray made that impact yesterday for Meath, and it is the Football Review Committee have done a great service to Gaelic football. I have to say, with all the excitement yesterday, and I was doing the match with Eamon Fitzmaurice, there was a bit of an anticlimax, but it was interesting. I just did the RT podcast there with Eamon, and he pointed out, which I noticed, that one of the Meath selectors told Owen Frayne, I think, was taking the sideline ball, make sure you kill it, put it out over the end line.
Right,
and he delayed it for about 20 seconds, a little bit longer. Mm. And the hooter went and the ball went dead. So it was a bit of an anticlimax. It's something maybe that we need to, that the GA need to look at, and we all need to come up with thoughts about it. There might be a better way to end rather than that. I actually thought there would be a kick out, and the referee, well, if there was a kick out, the ball would have to continue on until it went dead the next time, which would have given Galway the equaliser. So Meath were clever now. They were clever along the sideline to make sure that Owen Frayne, I think, as I said, was taking the sideline, that he killed it and he put it over the end line.
And listen, we've spoken about the controversy in Kerry, about the things that were said about them. There was a bit of controversy in Donegal as well, wasn't there? Because you had Donegal GAA not happy about the decision to give Donegal just a 6-day turnaround from their win over Louth last Sunday. But then Jim McGuinness was brushing that off. He didn't seem to have an issue with it.
Yeah, no, I'm not too sure who made the statement, but I don't think it came from the PRO or indeed from Jim McGuinness. I think Jim wasn't aware of it. But I suppose I can understand how this was Donegal. Donegal is the only country that's played more games than anybody else. This was their ninth championship match. The championship began the beginning of April, and this is their ninth. That's an awful lot of games. They're playing the All-Ireland semi-final against Meath. That'll be their 10th. Match. But now at least Donegal have a 2-week break or close to it, depending on when the semi final is fixed. I can't confirm it, Claire, but the rumour I'm hearing would be that Donegal would be playing their semi final on the Sunday, Kerry and Tyrone will be on the Saturday. But that, may I emphasise, has to be confirmed by the CCCC later this afternoon. That's only speculation on my part, but that is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, but your speculation would be good now, Marty. So
it's not too bad. But I think Donegal would be happy enough now, because I was kind of making excuses for their first half performance, because I thought Monaghan were excellent, but certainly Donegal have the depth of talent, and to bring on Jason McGee and Michael Langan's goal, my gosh. I mean, Brian Howard's goal for Dublin a few weeks ago was spectacular, but Michael Langan matched it. It was just a fantastic goal, and to beat a keeper of the quality of Rory Beggan, like Rory dived and he's a big man, but he was kind of flying into the air but couldn't reach it. So I think that particular debate about the, and there are, I think it's something that has to be looked at, Claire, to be honest with you. I think the fixtures have to be spread out a little bit. We all love what's happening, but I think even from a player's point of view, it just needs a little bit more space to make it more tenable and more acceptable to everybody.
See, and there's always the fear, particularly after a great weekend of football, that, you know, have they anything left in the tank now for the next phase? Yeah. And I know they have a little break and those matches aren't until the 12th and 13th of July, but still, it is a big ask, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you know, we can't be hypocritical here. We can't be talking about player welfare in one corner of the mouth and then playing all these games. Because if anybody gets injured, and we have had a few injuries, like, your whole season could be banjaxed very quickly because there's no space to recover. So I think the GAA have got to look at the fixture schedule during the winter months and look at it again and give it a bit of space. There will be space, which is already designed next year, But I think we'd all welcome at this stage just a little bit more space and have the finals in August. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody. And then we've two great products. We have the hurling and we have the football, and they're all at a premium level in the sense of the quality of what we have.
Now, when you look at what's going to happen on that weekend of the 12th and the 13th, where we have Tyrone and Kerry and Donegal and Meath, you'd look at those teams and you go, well, Kerry had, you know, a tough time yesterday, came out of it, you know, winning and victorious and all the rest. Meath the same. But then you'll be asking yourself, well, have they played their best? And how much could they possibly have left? And you look at Tyrone and Donegal and say, well, maybe they're the teams now that can push it a little more on that weekend.
I think when you have the momentum, and the four teams in the semi-final all now have momentum. They've all proven their worth and they now have a breather. And you're talking about four of the best managers in Robbie Brennan and Jim McGuinness, Malachy O'Rourke and Jack O'Connor. Their CVs are second to none at different levels. Robbie is new to the Intercounty, but what an impact. He won an All-Ireland club with Kilmacud Crokes. So I think they'll all fancy their chances. And Kerry and Tyrone have always had battles. And just because Kerry produced the goods yesterday, Tyrone will be, under Malachy O'Rourke, will be quietly thinking they just might have the people to match them. Now, nobody will say that Tyrone will beat Kerry, considering what we saw yesterday. But look, I look again at what Meath have done. I mean, Donegal, as I said, are playing their 10th championship. There's a long list of teams that they've played. But Meath have a CV that is really impressive at this stage. And Jim McGuinness will be well aware what Meath have done in this championship. To beat the Dubs, to beat Galway yesterday, to beat Kerry in Tullamore. I did that match in Tullamore. And I have to say they were worth every point, every goal, everything that they scored against Kerry. It was worth it. And as Jack O'Connor emphasised, Meath were better. Because I know when Kerry were going back down on the bus back down to Kerry, I think there was a lot of reflection. But time has proven that Meath are better than what people thought. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a wake-up call for Kerry. So we've two great semi-finals to look forward to.
We do.
And I think the managers will gauge their players and prepare them diligently. And that weekend will be another extravaganza, I have no doubt, of Gaelic football. And next weekend, of course, we have the hurling. So two weekends in the GAA that is really spectacular.
Great. And listen, you were saying there that it'll be this afternoon when the semi-final lineup will be fully decided.
Officially announced. Yes,
okay.
Correct.
All right.
And the Tailteann Cup final, by the way, is on Saturday. And I know Tyrone are in the minor All-Ireland final as well. So there's a lot of things to be considered by the CCCC under Brian Carroll, but no better man and no better committee to come up with a plan.
There won't be a child washed, Marty, over the next couple of weekends.
No, there'll be no going out, Claire. You'll be glued to the radio, glued to the TV, whichever you like.
Absolutely, Marty. Thanks so much. As always, Marty Morrissey there, RTÉ Gaelic Games correspondent. Now, still to come in the next hour of the programme, the former Minister for Justice and Dementia campaigner Nora Owen joins us here in the studio. Building solar farms on tracts of rural land, a no-brainer or a waste of good ground, we debate, and how to keep your summer flowers blooming in the heat and keep them in bloom while you're on holidays too. That's all on the way.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.